Well, good morning. Let's get out our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, and we're going to read again the Christmas story, so you'll know it pretty well by heart by the time we're done with this Christmas series. And then we're going to focus in, though, really, in our time together this morning on verses 13 and 14, called the title of the message is the first, as it says there, Christmas Carol. But before we do that, just by way of announcement, there is a red Dodge Dakota, license number 7096422, whose headlights are on. So you might want to check that. Red Dodge Dakota. Let's begin reading. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out to seize from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped them in swaddling cloths and laid them in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in that same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel of the Lord said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." You know, Christmas is a party. It is a specifically birthday party. And birthdays are meant to be celebrated, aren't they? Whose birthday party is it? Well, it's the birthday party of Jesus. We all know that. And because of the celebratory nature of this party, we walk around to one another and we say, as you did in your greeting one to another today, "Merry Christmas." Now, it's interesting, though, at this birthday party for Jesus, you see, when we have a party generally that's somebody's birthday, we don't usually ignore the person whose birthday it is. And yet, very frequently today, Jesus, it's his birthday, it's his party, and guess what? We're not really paying much attention to him increasingly. In fact, he's often overlooked, or if he's mentioned there at the party, he's mentioned along with some guests like Rudolph and Frosty and Santa Claus and the Grinch and a long list of fictional characters with the elves and all. But you see, Christmas, it's all about Jesus. You know, there's a... You know, at this time of year, many times we ask people what Christmas means. We'll ask our children, "What does Christmas mean to you?" Or, "What are you celebrating this Christmas?" Maybe a better question. "What are you celebrating?" I assign that for you for homework. Go around to people and say, "Hey, what are you celebrating this Christmas?" It's interesting. Some of the answers, one commentator is taking a little survey, and he went out and asked that question, "Hey, what are you celebrating this Christmas?" And one guy said, "I'm celebrating that I made it through another year." People, that's about it for Christmas. Another one says, "Well, I'm celebrating being home with my family." Another one that is said, if you happen to be, privileged to get one, "I got a Christmas bonus. That's what I'm celebrating." Another statement was, "My son is home from Iraq, and thank God for that." Another one said, well, I'm celebrating that I finished all my shopping. How many of you are celebrating that? Any, are you done? How many of you are done? Raise your hand. Okay. How many hours like to do the survey? So how many of you aren't done yet? Raise your hands. Okay. So now, well, the last question, how many of you haven't even started yet? Raise your hands. God bless you. I see that hand. And I'll be praying for you. But certainly celebrating, if you've finished all your shopping, you've got cause to celebrate. Someone else was asked, he says, I'm not celebrating anything, man. I'm just trying to survive. You see, the first purpose of Christmas is celebration. And here at this birthday party, like many, I mean, singing is certainly something we anticipate doing. And we hear this angel's opening statement to this shepherd, and God had wonderful news for us that would cause us to rejoice. There's certainly a reason to celebrate the season. There's a reason to throw a party. The angel said in verse 10, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. So the good news of Christmas is certainly worth celebrating for three reasons. Number one, it's personal. I bring you. It's to you. It's not to a bunch, a mob of people. It's to you. Good news. It's positive. I bring good news to you. It's good news, not bad news. There's enough bad news. And excuse me, it's universal. It's for all people. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. Or even where you're headed, this news is for you. And so when this announcement was made, you see, these shepherds, and I love the fact that, don't you love the fact that this was an ordinary day, as I shared last week, just an ordinary day on the job, just an ordinary night. And there into the darkness, suddenly one angel appears. One angel. Starts out with one angel. Says, I bring you good news, right? Of great joy which shall be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. One person. I mean, one angel to these shepherds. And then suddenly. And you know, I think it's the same with us as adults with our children. As parents with our children. I mean, some of you right now are wrapping the gifts, and especially if you got little ones, and you know, and you've wrapped the gift, and it's the thing they wanted, and you just can't wait to surprise them. Some of you, for your husband, your wife, you know, you're, oh, she's going to be so surprised when she sees this. I can't wait. And you're just filled with excitement just at the idea. Because you love to surprise, and we like to be surprised, don't we? Guess what? God is hep to that. Because guess what? These angels, when they set heaven singing, suddenly this one angel broke in, and then this party grew tremendously, because it says here, it says, and suddenly, surprisingly, breaking into life on this normal day, shockingly, amazingly, there was an angel, a multitude, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Oh, what a day. What a surprise. What a display, if you would. I mean, this was an amazing performance. I mean, let's think about this. Angels. I think the worship group sound pretty good today. I think they sound pretty good. And their harmonies sound great. And guess what? This group here, it's hard to imagine, all perfect pitch. Angels, no sin, right? They don't hit a wrong note, right? You hit a few wrong notes this morning, right? Some of you. In fact, some of us can't hit a right note, and that would be me. Every once in a while I try. But But these guys, this choir, like no other, singing this song very powerfully, that armies of angels, it says, appeared with this one. I mean, it moved from the place of just a mighty, you know, angel proclaiming to a performance that was astounding. And it wasn't simply a performance. You see, there was a pronouncement, the message. What was the song? What were the lyrics? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's the first Christmas carol. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I don't know how the tune went exactly, but I know those are the lyrics. Now, it may cause, as I read those, though, some of you to go, Pastor, you know, that's just my point. If those angels were singing this song so many years ago, what's the deal? I mean, is this something that it's in the Bible? It says peace on earth, goodwill to men. But I look around. Is this a fairy tale? I mean, I thought the Bible was true. And the message of these angels, coming of Jesus, the coming of Jesus is something that I look around and, you know what, I'm not seeing it. I'm hearing it sung frequently this time of year. I've heard it proclaimed, you know, and joy to the world and peace on earth and goodwill to others. I mean, those lines are in a lot of songs. Guess what, Pastor? Newsflash to you and to all your Christian company. While we sit here today in this sanctuary, at this very moment, shots are being fired in Afghanistan. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. As we sit here this very moment, Egypt, the military is still embattled. The people are dying and the protests are, the nation is reeling, really. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And I don't know if you read the paper, Pastor, yesterday, but rapper Slim Duncan was slain in an Atlantic music studio, shot point blank in the chest after an argument. And Pastor, peace on earth, goodwill to men. I don't know if you read yesterday that this employee at Southern California Edison, right down the hill here, and went in and shot four people, a 48-year-old man, and then he killed himself. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Thank God, Brian Stowe, just a guy at a game, Dodgers game, minding his own business, was beat almost to death. And for the first time in a long time, he made a public statement yesterday. Not to mention Mrs. Giffords that was shot there in Arizona. Where's the peace on earth? Where's the goodwill towards men? I mean, this is a nice phrase here in the Bible, and they sang the song, but it's like a dream. And the song really seems out of place lyrically as we look around us. And we've all but forgotten these heavenly lyrics and the harsh, brutal antagonism of the pressing needs of the day. To listen to the message of these angels sing this song this morning is a mockery. Picture the scene. It's like this. Imagine this. Some carolers show up at your house and they're singing Christmas carols and joy to the world and about peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And all the time they're out there singing, mom and dad and the kids are in there fighting with each other and throwing things at each other while the carols sing peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's the scene. I mean, I'm not seeing it. Is that old Christmas song? It's just a nice illusion. It's an old song and nothing more. It's a peaceful vision. It's a mirage. Well, the promise is certainly nice and ethical, but it's baseless. There's no reality in it. As I look around, I don't see the results. It might be that kind of a observation that caused Henry Wadsworth Longfellow to pen these words from a very popular Christmas song today. It reads, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, the old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet these words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom, he rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The reality is as we read these words, we are forced to admit that peace seems to have been scared into hiding, huh? Because that's not what we're experiencing. And goodwill towards men doesn't appear to have many inroads when it comes for people getting along with one another and caring for one another. Might cause you to say, Pastor, is there an explanation of the apparent illusion here? The peace that was promised, the goodwill that was proclaimed. Is it possible that we may be missing something that is essential? If peace and goodwill are to be realized and become actual? You see, this message contains a great praise. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. It begins, though, with glory to God there in verse 14, in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. What are we missing? What are we lacking? What is it that can bring reality into this seeming of fantasy? As this song is being sung, I want you to note something here in our text. Because we like the last line, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Let me suggest something. The reason that we're not seeing it is because we're missing something. What's that? The first line. The first line. What's the first line? Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and then peace on earth, goodwill to men. You see, we want to talk about the fruit, peace on earth and goodwill to men, without talking about the root. What's the root? Glory to God in the highest. You see, we can't have peace on earth. We won't really see and experience goodwill to men if we don't go back to the beginning of the song, the first lyric, and sing the song in its completeness. Peace is not an independent birth. Peace is not detached, you see, from relation. What the angels, their proclamation is that this peace is tied. It is not independent. It's a fruit of other experiences, other practices. Just as it is in much of life, this building, we would call it sound. It's soundly constructed. It has For example, architectural peace. What do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean by that? Well, what I mean is it stands firm. It's quiet when you are not here. It's really quiet in this place. And when the winds are blowing, the winds have blown on this building and it continues to stand. What is the key that brings that kind of firmness, that kind of peace, if you would, that kind of stability? It's the holding together of materials, the fellowship, if you would, of brick upon brick and a pillar upon pillar and timber upon timber. And it's all joined and fastened, engineered by an architect and put together by those who build such things correctly, having structural integrity by design. And thus this building is sound and has peace because everything in relation to the other is put together properly, connected together rightly. And that's what brings the peace. Sorry, it didn't just have an explosion here on the property and evolve. It was built very carefully. Attention was paid. Inspections were made to arrive at this place of architectural peace. It's all based on the relationship of one structure and timber to the other with a solid foundation. Same is true in music. Musical peace is harmony. And here again, you heard the band here play this morning, the worship band. Guess what? That just didn't happen either. Rehearsing, practicing, tuning. You see, you let one string of one of those guitars, one string of a violin in an orchestra be out of tune. Guess what? When they all together play that string, there's one that's going to be off, and it will make for an unpleasing, confusing sound. There's no peace, there's no beauty, there's no harmony. You see, that harmony and that peace comes from practice and tuning and things to be adjusted. There's bodily peace, they tell you. They've told me. There's a balanced diet, right? Now, how many of us don't eat that balanced diet? And it always cracks me up. People sue McDonald's for serving certain things. Like we didn't know those things. If you eat a steady diet of just those things are bad for you. You didn't know that? There's the food pyramid and the stuff that we're supposed to eat. And we're supposed to have a balanced diet if we're going to experience physical peace. Your body has certain needs for certain nutrients. They have studied it. And so we need to eat those things accordingly. We need to exercise, you see, they're telling us we can't. If the most exercise you get is pushing the button of the remote control for your TV, you're probably not getting enough exercise. You're going to have problems physically. You're going to have problems if you're with your body. And that is a fact, you see. It's eating those foods, the right foods in relation to one another. It's the right amount of exercise, you see, and pacing yourself. And you see, it's the physical health is the fruit of a balanced diet and exercise, dealing with your stress and all. The same is true of this peace on earth that these angels are singing about. We all cry out, we want to see harmony in the family of man among humanity. But this peace is the outcome of certain relationships. And when those relationships are secured, then peace is assured. And you find this teaching everywhere in the Word of God. It's given first place. A few examples. And thou wilt keep in perfect peace. Okay? Here's the peace, the promise. You want peace? You want perfect peace? Oh, I long for that. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. This peace doesn't just happen. It happens in relation to something else. What's that? The perfect peace is attainable. It's conditional, though. The condition is whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, if you're going to have perfect peace, you've got to fix your mind completely on the Lord. Another place in Scripture, great peace have they who love thy law. Great peace is available and can be had. But who's it available to? To those who love God's Word. To those who love God's Word. Another place, wherefore being justified by faith, we have peace. Are we justified? That word justified means this. God looks at you because of what Christ has done, just as if I'd never sinned. How can you be looked upon just as if you'd never sinned? You have faith in the one who suffered on the cross and died in your place for your sins, Jesus Christ. You're not earning and working hard to try and get God to love you and accept you. You come to God just like you are and ask Him for forgiveness and of your sin and repent and believe in the one who He has sent to pay the price for your sin on that cross. And when you put your faith in Him, God looks at you as if you've never sinned. And that's what brings peace. So many people in religion trying to get there. God says, hey, guess what? I finished the work. I purchased the peace if you put your trust in me. Glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The song starts with great praise. It does. It is a great peace that is promised to those who are in vital relationship with God. Now, what's it mean, a vital relationship with God? Because I want this great peace that issues forth from these angels in great praise. There are many ways that a man or woman can be related to God, but only one of them is vital. A lot of people are in contact with God. A lot of people have a casual knowledge with God, but they're not in communion and connected to God. For many, the connections are simply external and not internal. There are people today that have a philosophic relationship with God, which is simply they love the philosophy. And I had a good friend who I grew up with and played in rock bands with, who majored in philosophy at Cal State San Bernardino, and he got his degree. And philosophically, he likes Jesus and likes the stuff in the Bible. And he believes a lot of it, but not all of it. I asked him once, I says, you know, here's the thing, Jerry. I says, let me just tell you this. God has not allowed you to believe some of it. Because the statements that Jesus made, he's either a liar or deluded, or he's the Lord. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Listen, he didn't leave it open to your, you know, philosophical reasoning. You have to make a choice. Either there is no other way, or he's lying about another way. So if he's lying about the way and the truth and how to have life, then guess what? How can you believe anything he says? And how do you figure out what he's saying that's true and what it is that's a lie? You make up your own thing. I said to him, here's the deal, Jerry. This Bible, you either take it and throw it out and say it's all a bunch of lies and stories, or you take it and lay hold of it and believe it as the truth, as it is the Word of God. There's no middle ground. He didn't like that. Well, it didn't mesh with his philosophy. I believe there's good things in everybody, and that, you know, all philosophies and all roads lead to God. That won't work. There's a theological relationship that some have. They have certain creeds and certain things and rituals and rites and the sort of an ecclesiastical relationship. There's just kind of this formal entry and these practice of religiosity. And they have a casual kind of hang out at church and read the Bible, kind of being a student of the Word, maybe even studying theology. And then there are those with their degrees in theology. And their knowledge is vast when it comes to church history and what's going on in the Christian, you know, culture, you see. But they know a lot of stuff about God, but guess what? They don't know God. It's not the same. It's possible to know stuff about God, like the Pharisees, and not know God. It's possible to have a lot of theological understanding and reasoning without really connecting in vital relationship with God. All of these relationships to God are formal, maybe nominal, maybe literal, but they're not vital. What do I mean? They don't give a vital glory to God. There's not a love relationship with God. You say, well, how do I get right? I mean, Pastor, you know what? Okay, so I want this peace. So I want this joy in my own life. I want to be good and have a good will and do good things and treat other people properly and rightly. I want all that this angel is singing about. I want to see it in my own life and heart and family personally. And then I want to see it break out into the world, this peace and goodwill to men. How do I accomplish that? What's the way that we do that? Well, I love the fact that Jesus didn't leave us in the dark. And as I've already stated, Thomas, it was an answer to his question. And Thomas gets kind of, you know, put down and pointed out as being doubting Thomas, and because he says, I won't believe unless I can, you know, see the nail holes in his hands and thrust my hand into his side. I'm not just going to believe because somebody told me. I need to see for myself. Something about that guy I actually admire. You may call him a doubter, and certainly he did, but at least the guy was honest. You know what I mean? And I love the fact that he's the kind of kid that, you know, in the classroom when the teacher says, okay, you all understand? You know, and of course you didn't want to look stupid and raise your hand going, you know what, I don't have a clue at all about what you just said in any way, shape, or form. Could you explain it? Because you didn't want to get, you know, subject to the rolling of the eyes of people maybe in the class that did get it and were smarter of you, but, you know, smarter than you, and you didn't want to get put down and feel like you're dumb, and so you just go, oh yes, we understand. I don't have a clue what she's saying, you know. That wasn't Thomas. Remember in John 14 there when Jesus says, okay, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And the rest of the disciples were sitting there, probably listening to these words, going, cool, yeah, I don't have a clue, but I'm not saying anything. I don't want to look stupid. But I love Thomas. What did he say? Hey, Lord, just want to let you know right now, I have no idea where you're going. I don't have a clue about the way that you're talking about. And I wonder if Peter and the boys go, now some of them, you know, maybe John understood. But I think the other disciples are going, oh, I'm so glad he asked. I didn't want to look stupid, but boy, I'm willing to let him look stupid and call him that. But it was in answer to that question that we have the solution to the realization of peace and goodwill to men. What was it? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's not many ways to God. Jesus said, I am. He didn't say, I am a way. And a lot of religions will get you there. He said, I am the way. Now, if he was telling the truth, and I believe he was, what he is suggesting there is no other possible way to get to God. Amen. There is no possible way to know the truth. There is no other way to have life as God intended it to be, fulfilling, enjoying, with purpose and power and plan and peace. There is no other way. You see, folks, that, you know, that, well, it's okay, that's basic, that's Christianity 101. I believe that. Yeah, but do you live that way? Well, if I could just make a little more money, then I'd have peace. Oh, if I could just get this job. Oh, if I could just have that relationship. Oh, if I could just have that boyfriend, that girlfriend. Oh, if I could just graduate. Oh, if I could just get this a college degree. Oh, if I could just get married, you know, then if I could just, then we could have children. If I could just retire and get my pension, and then. Can I tell you something? None of those things will bring peace. None of those things will take away the fear. You see, there's only one way to have peace, and that is to believe in Jesus Christ, to live for His glory. Folks, can I tell you right now, we get nowhere by just counting on government and politics and the financial stability and stock market and job market. If you're looking to that for peace, good luck. You're not going to find it. It doesn't happen when we gather into mobs. Well, we'll get enough mobs, you know, getting busy doing stuff. And we'll change this thing in a mob. Then we'll have it. Excuse me. Then we'll arrive. And there's Occupy Wall Street. And who knows what other mob is going to show up. Listen. Peace is only found in the surrender of your personal life to a personal Lord and Savior. I have no confidence or no hope in anything or anyone else. Yes, am I glad the war's over in Iraq and our troops are coming home? Absolutely. Do I think that war and our victory there brings us any nearer in this world to peace? No. No, I don't. I hope it remains stable over there. I hope they can forge a peace, at least militarily. But I know it won't be achieved in reality unless those people in that country come to know the one who brings peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. It doesn't happen in a mob. It's all about individuals coming into the place and the harmony with God, with Christ, the one whom He has sent. Glory to God in the highest It's all about Him who has sent a Savior, His Son, to the world to bring peace. Whenever a piano tuner goes to tune a piano, you know what? He doesn't do it with a mob. He doesn't just go, okay, let's just do it in a mob. He starts out with one string and brings that string into tune. And then there's 88 times, I don't know how many strings that there are to tune. Because there's three for some and two for the others and one for the lower notes a piece. But there's a lot, suffice it to say, there's a lot of strings in that piano. What that tuner does is he starts with one string and he tunes that. And then from there, in relation, he tunes each string individually, not in a mob. And as each string is tuned individually and brought into right, you know, a place, you see, then guess what? There's a beauty that comes forth from that piano. You see, that's the key for us. If we are going to see a peace in our country, if we are going to see a peace break out in the world community, it is going to start with you personally bringing your life into harmony, living for God's glory, and being right with Christ, and not just simply knowing about Him, but doing what God has told us to do by way of obeying Him and living our lives for Him. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into kingdom harmony. We must surrender our lives and live our lives. This is where it starts, for His glory and His honor. It was a campaign years ago, but it's very practical. Still, it has faded somewhat, but what would Jesus do? You see, that's what it's all about. The angel's song begins with glory to God, and then it ends with peace and goodwill towards men. First glory, then peace. Is the angel's song an illusion? Is it an empty promise? Has Christianity failed? Has its purpose ministry turned out to be just a fantasy? No. You see, that peace is experienced in your family, as it's experienced in your own life personally, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Increasingly in this country, the further we've got from Jesus, the more confusion and turmoil we see. Because governments can't bring peace. It's a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, who can only bring peace. The poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he doesn't leave it there in despair. When he says, "For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men," he goes on to say, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does He sleep. The wrong shall fail. The right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolve from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men." We need to continue to sound that bell. May the message ring in our own lives and our own hearts personally. May we come into surrender and submitting our lives to Christ increasingly. Why? So that we may experience the peace that God intended us to experience and the harmony And people see and sense the love that we have for the Savior, and as a result, one with another, and the peace that we enjoy because we are serving Him. May it be seen clearly that this world that is looking desperately for peace may say, I want what you got. How do I get it? What are you psyching yourself into? It's not a chant. It's not a chance. It's a Savior. It's Christ, the Lord. Let's pray.